Before our scripture reading this morning,
let us pray.
Most holy, loving God, we give you thanks for your grace, for your blessing, and for your mercy. We give you thanks that you stand as our neighbor in our times of need. May it move us to also be a neighbor like the Good Samaritan in the story. And may the words that I share with your people this morning be found acceptable to you. Amen. So our scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. The passage itself is one that is familiar to all of us. We probably have heard it preached many times. We probably have heard it preached maybe once or twice a year. And I'm certain you probably have heard it preached by every pastor that have served here. So if we're already familiar with it and have heard it many times, why do we need to hear it again? Well, for one thing, it is one of the lectionary texts for today. I thought that we've heard from the Old Testament prophets for the past few weeks, and it's time we move on to something different, like the New Testament, to hear from Scripture during Jesus' time, and to hear from Jesus himself, as written by Luke. As my Old Testament professor at Perkins, Dr. Roy Heller, used to say, don't confuse familiarity with understanding. Don't confuse familiarity with understanding when it comes to Scripture. This means that even though we may have heard the gospel stories a million times, we shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't assume that we already understand it. Rather, let us reread it with fresh sets of eyes. Let us re-engage with the text as if we're reading it for the first time. So the passage tells us that a young man identified as a lawyer, although he wasn't a lawyer, but more like someone who was a religious scholar, approached Jesus with the question. His question wasn't sincere or genuine, but more like a test question. He was testing Jesus. He asked the question of, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, knowing exactly the intentions of this person, turned the question around and responded with a question. Have you ever had that done to you? Or have you done that to somebody else? I'm sure we all have. So Jesus said, what does the law have to say? And the young man answered, that you shall love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and that you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the young man wanted to prove that he was of the intelligent type and knew scripture, asked further, but who is my neighbor? And so Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus said that once there was a man that was taken by robbers. He was beaten up, hurt, and laying on the side of the road. A priest came by, took notice, and because of his religious reasoning, justified to himself that it was in his best interest to pass on by on the other side. And then there was a Levite who came, took notice of the man laying on the side of the road, and because of his own cultural reasoning, justified to himself that it was best for him to pass on by on the other side. But third came a Samaritan that was not even from the community, but rather he was considered a foreigner. He took notice of the man laying on the side of the road, and because of his own moral reasoning, justified and was moved and filled with love and compassion, and thought that it was best. It was to his best interest that he helped this man. So not only did the Samaritan stop to help him, he went on to take him to a place where he could be completely cared for. And as the story tells us, he told the folks there to take care of the man, and he will take care of all of the expenses. Wow. And so Jesus then turns to the young man and asks, which one of these folks was a neighbor to him? And the young man correctly answers Jesus and said, the one who showed mercy, the Samaritan. So Jesus tells his young man to go and do likewise, and you shall live. So here is where I want to focus our message for today. If we already know what to do and what is required of us, why do we keep asking? If we already know the steps to gaining eternal life, why do we continue to ask how? If we already know who our neighbors are, why do we continue to ask as if we're going to get a different answer? But I think that some of the reasons why we continue to ask is because one of these is that it may be that some of us still don't get it, still don't understand who our neighbors are. It just may be that some of us needs a little bit of a reminder. It just may be that we know who our neighbors are, but it is just too darn hard to express neighborly love. It's too hard because to help and to love our neighbors may possibly compromise our political and religious views. And it would jeopardize our sense of belief that we've grown up with or that we're associated with. But what we tend to forget but ought to embrace is that to love our neighbors is also to love God. To love our neighbors as we love ourselves is also to love God. Yes, if you are someone who may not love yourself, who may not think too fondly of yourself or like yourself, I urge you to find reasons, because there are plenty. There are plenty of reasons, there are plenty of blessings that you ought to find. Because you cannot love your neighbors unless you also love yourself. These three are interdependent, and that one cannot exist without the other. To love God, to love self, and to also love neighbor. It is like the Trinity that we believe in, that we believe in a God that comes to us in three forms, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that one cannot exist alone, but only with the presence of the other two. So to say that we love God with all of our hearts, mind, strength, and soul is to also say that we love our neighbor and self. To love our neighbor, or to love self, is also to say that we love God. And we cannot say that we love God and hate the other two. We cannot say that we love God and pass on by on the other side of the road. We cannot choose to pass on by on the other side of the road and come here to church without also choosing to pass on by God. Put it another way, we cannot choose to pass on by the other side of the road without also choosing to pass on by our Savior. Our neighbors are surely not just our friends here at church. Our neighbors are surely not just our buddies at the golf course or our friends at social gatherings. No, our neighbors are the ones that society chooses to ignore each and every day. Our neighbors are the ones that live on the margins of society. Our neighbors are the ones that don't get a fair chance at life because of their life's economic, social, and family circumstances. Our neighbors are innocent kids like Trayvon Martin, or people of color like him who are racially profiled and killed because of the color of their skin. Our neighbors are the ones who stand on the side, on the other side of the justice system, and crying out, "Lord, have mercy." Our neighbors are young women and men who stand at the door of mercy, crying out for their free will to make decisions for themselves as given to them by our Creator. Our neighbors are people that are systematically disadvantaged due to their race, class, gender, sexual orientation, religion, and so on. Our neighbors are the ones that are laying in a hospital or nursing home facilities, or in prison, just dying for someone to come and visit them. To come and just to be with them, to show them that someone cares and loves them. Our neighbors could even be someone who we absolutely dislike and don't care for because they hold a different perspective from us. Wherever you stand on the political, social, and justice issues, we ought to be neighbors to all, even the ones we disagree with. There is much to be said about being familiar with Scripture and not truly understanding it. There is, however, much difference in understanding Scripture and being able to live by it. What I'm saying here is that some of us already understand Scripture, but just can't help ourselves. It's like sin. We know what it is and its implications, but we just can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves because our created nature draws us to those very things. It is not to justify our human behaviors, but it's an explanation of why the grace of our God is given to us freely because we are in desperate need of it. And it is why we need the mercy of our Lord. To him that we are singing, "Lord, I want to be a Christian, to be more loving, to be more holy, to be more like Jesus in my heart," speaks to the human desire of a Christian, of us, that we all want to be all of those things, yet it's difficult. And the ending of each of those verses, in my heart, is a true reflection of how a person can change and to be more like Christians, to be more loving, holy, and to be more like Jesus. And we can only do that if we first change our heart. And to change our heart is to change our views, our perspectives, our behaviors, and ultimately our life. But nothing can change unless we change our heart first. Perhaps that is what is meant by being reborn again. And to change our life is to change the question. Rather than asking, "Who is my neighbor?" we can ask the question of, "Who is it that I can be a neighbor to?" It is to say that I will not only help the person that I see laying on the side of the road, but that I will also seek out persons that may not be visible. It is to be intentional Christians and not just passive. It is to be more loving, to be more holy, and to be more like Jesus. By going out to the communities, both local and abroad, and not just waiting for a need to come to our doorsteps. Or as Paul Wesley Chilcote said in his book, Change from Glory into Glory, that being a Christian entails living in and becoming transparent to God's glory. And Charles Wesley wrote it in his hymn, He conveyed this vision of a glorious Christian life in the hymn titled Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Familiarity becomes understanding when we appropriately put it into action. Our neighbor becomes our neighbor when we see in them not an other or someone different from us, but seeing in them ourselves and seeing in them the face of our Savior and seeing in them the face of our God. May we go out into the world today and to be a neighbor to someone else, to show them mercy as our God shows us mercy each day. May you be a neighbor to someone else in need. Amen.